You don't read Lewis fast. You dig in and you live it. And again, it really is mental exercise. Now, Lewis's main focus for this kind of stuff was apologetics. And what apologetics means is a logical defense of the Christian faith. But apologetics is not the only thing that Lewis did or wrote. In fact, Lewis took that approach I've told you and extended it to a number of different genres. He didn't want to be just a specialist in one thing. He wrote on a broad variety of subjects. In contrast to the growing specialization of our century, Lewis produced a body of work that is as prolific in its length as it is wide-ranging in its breadth. Now, let me give you a list. The first one, again, is apologetics, a logical defense of the faith. But look at what other genres Lewis wrote in. Here's a quick list. He wrote theology and philosophy, science fiction and fantasy, children's literature and poetry, literary theory and aesthetic history, Christian allegory and spiritual autobiographies, fictional letters and devotional meditations. And there's even more that I didn't list. And a lot of those things, Lewis has done better than anybody else. Some of those genres he actually reinvigorated and made them fresh and new and modern in that sense. Now, unlike his contemporaries, again, Lewis did not look down on such genres as children's fiction and science fiction, but felt that they could bear as much intellectual meaning and spiritual import as any serious or academic work. You don't normally see somebody writing literary and aesthetic and theological and philosophical works also writing children's literature and science fiction. But Lewis felt that, and now see, today, those genres have a pretty good standing. When Lewis was writing back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, they were looked down on. Children's literature had been relegated to the nursery. Nobody took it seriously. Today, every major university offers a major in children's literature. That is partly because of C.S. Lewis. Not only, but C.S. Lewis helped raise the reputation of these dying genres, or at least forsaken genres, and invested them with his own special oomph, if you will. You see, like Wordsworth, again, Lewis did not consider it a mean or low duty to entertain his audience and invoke their childlike wonder and imagination. Most Brits won't tell jokes in their lectures. Lewis doesn't mind. He's warm and he's engaging. Maybe one of the reasons Americans love him so much. You see, Lewis loved a good story more than anything. And that love is as evident in his fictional works, where you'd expect it, as it is in his literary critiques of Milton, Spencer, and Dante, where you might not expect it. Like those of Chaucer, Shakespeare, and Dickens, the writings of C.S. Lewis present us with a complete, self-contained universe, a vibrant world of ideas and images and characters that speak to us on a multitude of different levels. I would almost call it the C.S. Lewis world. Again, when you read, you know, you take the name off the cover. If you read a book, you'll recognize it as C.S. Lewis. He's got his own style, his own world, his own oeuvre, if you will. But there's more. More than a great writer, Lewis was also a man who truly lived out his faith. Though few people knew it, Lewis donated over 50% of the royalties he received on his books to various charitable organizations. And again, Lewis always lived a modest life. He gave over half of what he made, and nobody knew this. Even his closest friends often didn't know it. Lewis, again, lived a very modest lifestyle, and he never adopted the mannerisms or attitudes of a successful and respected author. If you met him on the street, you would have thought you had met a butcher, as he liked to say. Very down-to-earth man, as Americans like to say. Despite his busy schedule of writing and teaching, Lewis took the time to personally answer innumerable letters from his fans, and that includes letters from children. And he wrote them back in hand, no typewriting. He wrote them back in his own hand. He had a little help from his brother Warren, but he answered this mail, and it's voluminous. In fact, I would estimate that if all of his letters were to be published in small print, they would form a book considerably longer than War and Peace by Tolstoy. It is amazing how many letters he wrote. And they're worth reading, too, by the way. Another thing, unlike many intellectuals, especially modern ones, Lewis knew how to laugh at himself. That's not something that many intellectuals have. Finally, although he was a very moral and very ethical man, Lewis was not a Puritan. In fact, he could drink, smoke, and joke with the best of them, and he was quite literally addicted to tea. Now, Lewis is almost a saint. In fact, he is in many ways in evangelical Protestant circles. And some of them, especially the Baptists where I come from, are amazed at this. Why did he drink and smoke so much? But that's one of the things that makes him human and warm and engaging. He's a real person. A real man, again, a man speaking to men is what Wordsworth said about poets. Well, that's what Lewis is in all of his work.